We've got two awesome sponsors, including pizza now. And Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's the TagCast Podcast.
Kicked it! Hello and welcome to the TagCast, the podcast.
Django.
The D is not silent. I am DeGatch.
Austin Gatchel.
Yep. Yep. The D is silent.
Hillbilly.
The D is side. Huh.
Django.
Across the desk from me
is DeTerry Guile, and this is the TagCast podcast. And I think we'll be talking a little bit about this movie because last week I hadn't watched it yet. Dustin hurried to watch it so we could talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And then me being a broke ass, he's like, here, have a gift card. Watch this movie.
Heck yeah.
So thanks for that.
And you had to watch it.
Dude, I watched it four times in 48 hours. Yeah. Four times. And it's
$1.25. You're talking, that's Redbox prices.
Oh, man. Yeah. And it was, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
184 N-words. Mm-hmm. And I failed the Django Unchained bong hit challenge.
But you took bong hits throughout the movie, though, right?
Yeah, I had to stop, dude.
Really?
Because I even tried to, like, build up.
Oh.
Because you told me that the first N-bomb was, like, 13 minutes. But
right
then
around there.
It was 9, actually.
All right.
Get away from my horse, N-word.
Oh, okay.
After the guy shot it. And anybody who hasn't seen it, there might be a few spoilers in today's episode because... maybe not major spoilers, but we're going to be talking about some elements of the movie. But yeah. So, and then they started getting to where there was like 3 per minute sometimes to play catch up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there was a lot near the action parts that was being thrown around quite a bit, you know. Yeah. A lot of people yelling.
Yeah.
What do you think about, was there those moments in the movie that you were lost in the movie, right? You're enjoying the movie, and then all of a sudden those dialogues come up that are like, oh, yeah, Tarantino movie.
Yeah,
and it did make me think that
maybe they might not have spoken exactly like that back in 1858, but who knows?
Not exactly, but I think it does what a lot of movies don't do is to show the mundane. The times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you watch a movie and it's like 2 hours edited down from sometimes 100 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so you don't see, like in 24, you don't see him taking a dump or anything like
never
that.
Never pees
right?
once, ever.
Yeah. And so, and that was real time.
Yeah.
I guess he
maybe when they were showing what other people were doing, then he's peeing.
Maybe,
real quick.
Yeah. Like, but in this one, you know, like the scene with... the hoods, you know,
dude,
when
that was a hilarious little comic
Jonah
relief.
Hill was on there. It was, and it was like that probably really happened because I mean, there was probably the first time they made those little things,
right?
You know, they probably just slapped them together, not thinking about you know
they didn't
where
measure
they were
the eye holes.
Yeah,
or whose
you know,
head was longer.
They probably didn't even sew them in. They probably had to make like you know 100.
I think they were just like flour bags, you know, or something. And I talked to a friend this weekend, and that scene was his favorite scene of the movie.
It was pretty funny.
And that was Jerry Murphy.
Nice.
His favorite scene of the movie. And talked to another friend who rented it from Redbox, but it was too long, and they didn't finish it and had to take it back.
Oh, man. It didn't bother me that it was too long. It didn't even bother me with the use of the word.
Yeah, the N-word.
You know, and... You know, I
and I'm going to say this, but I don't want to offend anybody. But if I do, fuck off, because I don't care. You've heard another word that's very similar to the N-word that we are speaking of. It's called niggardly. Have you heard that word before?
Probably.
Niggardly.
What's that mean? You act it means, cowardly?
No, it means stingy and tight with your money.
Oh, really?
I looked it up the other day because the word came up as we were speaking of the N-word and how many times it's dropped in this movie. And then I'd heard the term niggardly, and I wondered if it had anything to do with race or stupidity, because I think the original definition of the N-word that has been put onto the black people means uneducated.
The derogatory.
Uneducated person is what it doesn't mean a black person. That the definition was never a black person or even a slave. No. It's an uneducated person. So I wondered if the word niggardly, and there's some kind of a variation of that word, niggardarity or niggard, I can't remember what it was, but it's just funny that it means stingy and tight with your money,
mm-hmm.
because you could call someone a niggardly Jew. Because
yeah,
Jews,
well, that's true.
Jews
well, I mean,
are
you got to look at the etymology of the word.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, those definitions probably came into play before the slang definition.
Right, before the slaves and all that stuff.
Yeah, before it became a slur. And so, you know, I mean, you do have those definitions that, you know, still hang around. But it's all in the context of how you use it.
And I'm still...
But, the uneducated people are the ones that don't know that it means anything else. You know?
That's kind of a catch-22.
It's the turd Willis thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. An educated person is a person who doesn't like being called an uneducated person.
Cause yeah.
Because he doesn't know that that's what it means. Oh, right. That's perfect. And I'm surprised after seeing the movie, I didn't know what to expect because old Spike Lee had boycotted us saying it says the N-word 184 times. I've seen Do the Right Thing. It says the N-word a lot of times in that movie. And this is a period piece.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's used to just for the fact of using it.
It's used because that's how they would have talked back.
And most of the time, it's fucking from Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's using,
and that's
it's
probably
showing kind of, I guess I'd never really thought about this, but it's kind of showing the difference in, you know, I mean, how he's using it.
Yeah.
As opposed to how it's being used at him.
It seems to me almost like they're using it exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like when they're talking about the Mandingo fighters, which I didn't know anything of, and I looked that up, and I guess that's kind of a myth that the slave owners did that. They did it back more in Egypt times, I think.
I think. There was probably a little bit, but I think it's probably not as widely thought of as it was. I'm sure there was some people, just like there's dog fighting.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know what meant. I had to look it up, but when I was looking at a synopsis for the mm-hmm. movie before I watched it, and I didn't, I guess the Manding people, which is a place over somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I've called people Mandango before.
Yeah. And
just because it sounds cool.
And Bandingo, because that was a quote from Trailer Park Boys.
Uh-huh. So
the lady calls Randy, come on, Bandingo.
Is that going to be a slur now, is Mandingo?
Ah, I don't know. Who knows? It's a niggardly term.
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio in there, man. Great stuff.
Yeah. And here's what was funny to me on one of the parts with Don Johnson. when he tells that lady, go show Django around the place and show him all the nice things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, the dentist says, I just wanted to let you know that he's a free man and you can't be treating him like these other
mm-hmm.
African-Americans around here. And he's like, oh, by the way, don't be treating him like any of those other N-words around here because he ain't like none of them any other N-words. And she's like, so you want me to treat him like a white person? He's like, no, I didn't say that.
This is what was weird is at this point, even though the dentist thought of him as a free man, he didn't step in when he said, don't treat him as a total Freeman.
Yeah, he goes, don't treat him. He goes, you know that Peckerwood that works down there at the second
shift? Yeah.
And I've always thought that Peckerwood was a derogatory comment towards white people from black people.
Really?
Like a honky or a Peckerwood. Because on the very first episode of Saturday Night Live, Richard Pryor, or not the first, one of the first, George Carlin was the first host. Okay, Richard Pryor was one of the early hosts, and him and Chevy Chase were in a skit.
Yeah, infamous scene.
Yeah,
and yeah, the honky.
Yeah, and he's like, honky? And so, and that was one of the things that Richard Pryor said to Chevy Chase, and I've always heard Peckerwood to mean a white person.
Huh. I did never...
Do you know what a Peckerwood is?
It's funny. It's funny to say.
It is. It's like woodpecker backwards.
Yeah. Peckerwood?
Honky? Peckerwood? And I can't remember what Chevy Chase was calling him. He didn't say the N-word, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I heard Charlie use the N-word on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He said something.
Django!
And then Richard Pryor said, honky. And then Chevy said, nigger. And he said, dead honky.
Oh, yeah. Yo mama. Yeah, so I don't know. Back then, people would drop the N-bomb more frequently, I think, on TV in the 70s. And it wasn't, so people weren't so uppity. And not that it's an acceptable thing. I don't think that it's right to drop that in a crowd of people where you don't know who's going to be offended. I think if you're going to drop an N-bomb, you need to be...
You don't
want
to make people feel uncomfortable in any situation.
Yeah, and if you're not a racist and you use it, like, as kids, we used to have little sayings that we'd say, like if something was bunk or bogus... A lot of my friends would say, I want to say it, say, that's nigga trash. And I don't know where that came from, but people think say, that's nigga trash.
Just think of the old, what's that, nursery rhyme, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Oh, catch a tiger by the toe. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What's wrong with
that's
tigers?
Always that's kind of
I'm racist against tigers. If he hollers, let him go.
And still today, that's like a popular choosing thing.
When was the last time you heard anybody infuse the N-word into?
Well, I haven't actually.
I think
probably
I'd
on
forgot.
The playground.
I think I'd forgot about that until just now.
On the playground, probably.
Because it turned into a tiger pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That little black kid turned into a tiger, like, boom! He's like, no, you're catching a tiger by the toy. By the toe. Don't say that. I remember one time saying things that you don't know what they mean as a kid.
Yeah.
And it was around Christmas time, and my aunt was taking me up to see Santa Claus at the rec center, which I already knew was fake, by the way. I just wanted a bag full of candy that had all those orange... glisteny sugar covered slices of
those
little I used to love those as a kid, the little orange wedges
too,
so
as a kid I loved
I can't remember why we were singing this pirate song. Oh, we were singing ho 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 because it was Christmas, right?
Oh yeah.
And I said ho 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 and a bottle of cum. And I didn't even, and she's like, Terry, and I said, what? And she's like, don't say that. And I was like,
it just rhymed with rum to you.
What? She's like, it's rum. And I was like, so what's the big deal? I didn't even know what I said. I don't even know what year after that I realized, oh, I was talking about a bottle full of semen. No wonder my aunt got so pissed at me.
Yeah. I always say yo-ho-ho and a bottle of Pert Plus because a pirate could benefit from some Pert Plus. It's both shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
When was the last time you used Pert Plus?
Probably in the 80s. maybe the 90s. I'm not sure. I was always a convenience type of guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I liked the suave 2-in-1 cheap shampoo and conditioner. Yeah. But now I have a wife who's female, and she likes to have separate stuff that's like good for your hair. And she gets this weird green stuff that looks like really watered down. The conditioner looks like watered down guacamole.
Huh.
It's made from like.
Maybe they kind of like gritty even.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it exfoliates your scalp or something.
Wow.
Or I don't even know if that's just some extra sand to get the dirt off of your hair.
And then you're
it's good enough where you only have to wash your hair once a week now.
Yeah, and then you got the water coming out that's from like the polluted lake. Right,
yeah, it's full of fluoride and shrimp.
Yeah, shrimp.
Little sea monkeys swimming through your hair.
That would be sweet. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder.
No, I've heard that there were a couple times back in the day after the water testing, water testing.
They would find
small traces of brine shrimp in the water.
Weird.
I get some fish. I don't know. No wonder I don't like seafood because I drink it every day. I don't drink a lot of water. I guess the filter would get the brine out, right?
But yeah. If you have a filter.
Well, we got one of those things on our fridge.
Yeah. Well, now it would. Yeah. I don't know, back in the 80s.
Oh, no. Who knows what you were drinking?
Yeah. We all lived, though, didn't we? Well, most of us.
Well, you know, the living age was way lower back then because...
That's true.
Let's just drink out of this pond here.
Yeah.
It looks clean.
In our area, even back then in the day, I don't think there was, they weren't brainwashing us with the fluoride stuff.
Oh, yeah, and we didn't have the filters. I heard a lot of Portland people recently talking about the fluoride in the water, and they don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's put in there on purpose to keep the kids' teeth good or...
I think, they just put a trace in there, I think is what it is. But some people think that's how they brainwash you.
Ooh.
That, like, it's create you just a little bit of fluoride triggers the chemical that makes you want to, like, that makes you just a little more sedated. That's, I think, what the big controversy is.
Conformity?
Mm-hmm. It's a government control thing.
it clicks that little conformity button in your head.
I think that was a big topic issue when one of the local places was looking to put fluoride in their water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
So anyway, fuck water. We better finish talking about this movie so we can get on to anything else we want to talk about. I wasn't really paying attention to how long it had been on, and I wasn't checking because it was on Amazon Instant View.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where, okay, spoiler a little bit. They were going
to cut people his, need to go and see it.
They were going
to
cut his nuts off, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they said, oh, wait, she changed her mind. She's giving him to the mining company. Because a laugh at the mining company is going to be way worse than any laugh you'd have anywhere else. And so then I thought, oh, he's
especially
going off.
Coal mining probably is what it was.
He's like, you're going to swing a sledgehammer every day from dust
to dawn.
Breathing
that black
and
coal
then when
you're, dust.
When your back gives out, they're going to kick you down into the inward hole. Which I'd never heard of an inward hole, but apparently. Oh, inward hole. That's like a hole that goes inward.
Oh, it is. The inward hole.
I just made that up. But anyway, so then at that point I thought, well, the movie's pretty much over. I was thinking. But then I'm like, oh, yeah. And then it went like a half an hour longer. It was pretty cool. You know, he went back. And I think the landscapers are here.
The landscapers are here. Which he's been coming by once a week to mow the side yard, which is a good, I don't know, acreage. It's the size of.
You know the lot my house sits on?
Yeah.
That's 3/4 of an acre.
All right. So this is maybe like 1/5 of an acre.
Okay.
With that. With all the houses and stuff. But he comes and mows the little area in between. But he's been coming every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
I don't know what.
What's the house on?
It doesn't grow that fast.
Well, if you keep it down at that and you get on a schedule, I can understand. I own a riding lawnmower. Just got it running.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's been running, but I had some problems with the deck. So I had to head for Jerry's.
Uh-huh. Better head for Jerry.
Not the store, though. My uncle, who used to own the Chevron across the street.
Uh-huh.
So I had him replace my mandrels, which are the, my bearings were going
mandingos.
Out. Mandingos. Yeah, my mandingos went out, which were the two things that run the blades. And so I had him replace those, but of course it's an older model John Deere riding lawnmower. Uh-huh. And so they didn't make those exact mandrels anymore, but they said, these are the ones you want. These are the new kinds, so he got them. And then I tried to put the blades on, and I tightened them down, and they just spin. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, there's two pilot holes for, like, studs that will hold it in place even though it's tightened down. So I waited, like, I don't know. My grass was fucking high is all I know.
I waited till my grass was high. I got a push mower with the, you know, those little clicker things that set your wheel heights. Uh-huh. They don't have them in the front.
Yeah, so you had to
click,
do
so
wheelies.
Goes,
yeah. So I had a weed eat it down to a normal, and then I had Farmer Tape Nose come over and use his push mower. I finally took it down to my uncle's, Uncle Jerry's, and slammed two washers. He was done in 2 minutes. He had it fixed.
Wow.
Bopped a couple washers on there, got his impact wrench out. Because he's like 70. He don't fuck around with hand wrenches. He's like, everything's power.
I'm like 37. I don't even like to.
He'll build things just to make, he'll build something that'll take him 4 or 5 hours just to make a job easier. You know, he works smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I got my mower out there and got it all going. And of course, it was one motherfucking thing after another. Got out there, battery's dead. Well, first of all, to take the deck to my uncle's house, I go out and get in the van, start it, battery's dead. Fuck. Jump start the van with the car, drive to the station. Oh, it's almost out of gas. Get gas turned off. Dead again. Try to get my cousin to jump me, and he's got some weird battery in his dad's car that isn't even a battery because it's some weird new fucking computer car.
What?
It had one post. It didn't even have a negative post, and so we couldn't even get to work. So I had to walk across the street to the house. Fucking landscapers. I feel like Mark Maron. Mow your lawn on a different day. No, just kidding.
Yeah, no shit.
So, go across the street, get my car, come back over, jump the van again, take it down to my dad's, and then I get it all done, and I get the deck done, and I get back to my house, and I put the deck on. Well, I go to put the deck on, I notice two of the tires are flat. I'm like, shit. I'm going to drive it across the street to the gas station and get some fucking air in my tires before I put the deck on. Go to start the lawnmower, battery's dead. God damn it! Get the battery charger, charge up the battery. Go out to this dude's house and shoot his AK-47 for a couple hours, which I'll get to later. Come back, get the tires, everything, and then I got to mow my lawn finally. But it was so high, I had to go slow, and I had to have it on the highest setting. I'm going to have to mow it again.
Mm-hmm.
The belt a little bit too big because the mandrels were a different size. Fucking
and
man.
Now your grass is all stiff.
Yeah, it was like, it was stiff, and it was like bogging out my thing. But I took that step.
You got a bag on there?
No. Oh, I don't got a bag, or that's another
sucky
thing.
I got a small bag, and literally when I...
Oh, dude.
When I mowed my...
5 feet?
Yeah.
And dumped the bag. 5 feet.
It easily was. And then it was partially wet at the time, you know, and so it was sticking up the blade.
I'd have to go through, and it'd get all clogged in the exit hole, and then I'd have to just go where I'd already mowed and drive extra fast to try to bounce it out.
Yeah.
I've been having all kinds of weird shit happen. My new car was doing a weird little, like, thing, like when you get up to 70, like a little shimmy, like maybe one of the tires was out of balance or something. Mm-hmm. So went home and tried to take the tires off to make sure it wasn't like a caliper or a shock or something that had worked its way loose.
You saying it was shimmying or was it schnibbidying?
It was schnibbidying. It was jimmying. Shimmy, dimmy, dimmy. And so then I go to take the tires off, and I get all the lug nuts off, and the tire won't come off. It's like on there. And I haven't changed a ton of tires in my life because I didn't ever work in a tire shop, but I've had flat tires, and I've changed them. Wouldn't come off. I'm fucking pulling on it. I'm going to pull the car off the jack. I'm trying to pull the fucking tire off. So I go Google it. My tire's stuck on. Oh, this happens all the time. You know, corrosion builds up if you haven't changed your tire.
On the lugs?
Yeah. Well, on the back side of the rim where it touches the wheel base or whatever.
Kind of rust welds itself together.
Exactly. So they're like, well, you can tighten them up finger tight, the lug nuts, and then drive down the road 5 miles an hour and slam on the brakes, and it'll break it loose. It's like, I don't really want to do that. So you can hit it with a big hammer or just kick it. And then so I went out there and pulled the Beastie Boys and kicked it twice, and it popped right off. Dana was like there. She's like, awesome. Fuck, man. We're just jabbering away. We forgot to say happy Monday to you all.
And, I know. I don't even know. Episode 25. Did I say that?
I don't know. This must be, let's see. We're getting up to about 150 episodes, I think. Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
325 was 100, and then there was...
This would be a good time...
16 and 25 is 41, and 25 is 60. I think this is episode 166, if my math is good.
You can go to dudeschillin.com right now, and you'll see we now have a radio station. You go there, it'll just start playing, and it'll be in the middle of an episode. There'll be a schedule we'll have going on to where, like, a certain part will just play, like, classic episodes from season 1 and 2 for, like, 6 hours in the middle of the night, that's your preference. And may put some other stuff on there, too, and just run it as a loop. I found a way to do it on the economic fly. And so, yeah, it accommodates up to 5 gigs. I was able to put up pretty much everything we had and not even hit the...
Does it go random
point.
Or what? Is it just
you
tag
can do
cast?
Random,
or is it Zappa tag?
There's Zappa. I'll put up a whole schedule on there. I got a couple hours I'm going to do every night of Zappa, and then the rest will be tag. Maybe thought about the Sick Daddy Radio putting it on there, but I think I might just do that as its own radio station.
Nice. That'd be cool.
And just rotate the 500 or so tracks on there, you know?
Yeah, but maybe if some of our fellow podcasting buddies want, I don't know what your deal is on that. I know that Seth and Dylan are doing the Tangent Audio Network, which is supposed to be...
I would welcome, definitely welcome some interest from some other people if they want to put up a show on there.
And we also received a piece of mail from the 76th Street Podcast, which I thought maybe local. Nope, Omaha, Nebraska.
Really?
That's a comedy podcast weekly based out of Omaha. It's started by 3 longtime friends and a friendship that was forged in the fires of a Chuck E. Cheese kitchen.
Heck yeah. They sent us some
cards,
stickers.
Stickers and some flyers. Says they sat down with local talent, including comedians, which is misspelled. Way to go, guys. Musicians and old friends. We hope that Tony, Jared, and Brandon listen to the show. We don't know if they just found us on Twitter or they're just...
I think we found each other through maybe Rock Out Radio or another thing, or... We just ran across each other, and I saw them. They were wanting to give out free stickers, and I said, hey.
We like stickers and free stuff.
And these guys, they seem like they're a lot about us. I haven't gotten a chance to check you guys out yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, and if you guys are listening, Seth and Dylan, I don't know if you've ever heard of the 76th Street Podcast. Maybe you could give them a listen.
76thstreetpod.com.
Yeah, and you can give them a listen and maybe give them a review on your show.
Yes, there is a guy on there who he is the most difficult man in the world.
Oh, my God.
And a guy who festers and a guy that holds it all together.
He's the good and plenty.
Yep. Yeah.
He's at
so,
one.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun little
yeah, it's a little shout-out for 76th Street Podcast out of Omaha, Nebraska. And
Omaha.
That's right. Omaha.
Remember we used to talk about that one venue. How many people did it hold?
Which one?
The one that held like 800,000.
Oh, yeah. 800,000.
No, no, no. It seemed like a huge venue.
Yeah.
Is there a venue that holds that many?
I think it'd have to be outdoor.
Really?
I think largest crowds are like 100,000.
No, no, I would like to beg to differ.
Okay, you better get on your knees.
Yep, here it is. The largest gathering in human history went down...
in Portland, Oregon.
55-day Kumbh Mela. This is the picture they took to show the trash. Please. 80 million...
Not at once.
Hindus descended on Allahabad,
because they're
Uttar Pradesh, for the religious festival, and they left 56 tons of trash a day was produced
for 50 days.
Yeah, 55 days.
What the fuck?
Yeah, 80 million, and it wasn't just like regular trash. They just stripped off their clothes and left them there too, and. You know, because they don't need clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
After they've been saved.
Well,
yeah.
It's fucking weird.
80 million Hindus, I guess, within the 55 days. But still, that's a, you know.
Oh,
that's
so they weren't
more than
there
1 million a day.
80, 50. Yeah, you're right.
It was supposed to be an eco-friendly. And,
turned
yeah,
out not
so much. There's a lot of.
They're like,
trash
you think
left.
Woodstock produced a lot of garbage and shit?
Yeah.
You think they had porta potties and stuff there?
I would hope so. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they were running around naked. Why would they need it?
It was a shit fest.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Did you hear about Kristen Wiig?
No. I heard her saying that she feels kind of like she's lost her direction since she left Saturday Night Live.
But... Oh, she's coming back.
Oh. Okay. No, I didn't hear that. That's good.
As host.
Oh, okay. Just the host? You scared me. I thought she was going back to the cast.
Yeah, but okay. Do you think it's too soon?
It's only been one season, right?
It hasn't even been a season.
Well, that's how much they love and miss her, I guess. Usually you have to have, well,
maybe
she
it's
had,
to give her a boost to get that confidence back. You know,
she
sometimes
did have
you got to make a layup.
Usually have to have some big blockbuster award-winning movie, which she already had before she left.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like maybe a precedent or something, but... No, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Maybe she was talking about that because she might have been in talks with them about hosting because she was quoted as saying she kind of felt like she'd lost her direction in her career ever since she left Saturday Night Live, which, if you think about it, she hasn't put out a ton of movies since she left.
No.
Or,
well, she hasn't had time. May 11th, though, it's going to be her stint.
Stint.
Yeah.
She had some really funny characters, for sure.
Films on deck that she has are Anchorman sequel,
ooh.
Despicable Me 2, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, and Girl Most Likely. So she has like four or five movies in the shoot.
Yeah.
In her shoot.
Well, see, that probably is another thing. One will probably be coming out around May or maybe getting ready to come out. Because usually when a host comes on, they say, check out my new movie called One Finger in the Butt.
It's going to be a good band on there, too, Vampire Weekend.
What are you? What just happened? Oh man, I'm crying.
Have you heard of those people?
I've heard of them, but I don't know.
I thought I saw them on.
I thought I saw
Saturday
them on
Night Live or
maybe
some
it was on
late
the Grammys
show, and it wasn't very impressive in my musical flavors.
Dude, there's been so many bands recently that I've never heard of that end up on Saturday Night Live that just suck.
They do.
Suck, dude. And I see people posting stuff. No offense to anybody else, because everybody's got their own fucking taste. But they're like, oh. Mumford and Sons, Burger. Oh, this, some band that was on there a few months ago. The greatest band ever to be on Saturday.
We never played with Mumford.
No. No, we didn't, and I wouldn't. Could you imagine Mumford and Sons and Sons of Confusion?
Yep.
I don't get Mumford and Sons.
I don't either.
My son loves them. Mum's really? The word, son. Mm-hmm. Mum.
They're, what are they, blues?
I don't even know what they are. They're
bluesy
like
rock.
Indie fucking bullshit.
College radio.
Yeah, Death okay. Cab for Cutie? I don't know.
Ah, okay, I got it.
Because what's Death Cab for Cutie? I don't even know. What's fucking, what's anything? Who is anybody? Why is anything?
You know
what
why?
What the fuck is going on right now?
You know why?
I
got an answer for why.
Okay.
New study published this month in Heredity magazine looks at inbreeding in the Habsburg royal family, known for cousins and uncles and nieces who did far more than kiss.
Whoa.
What the researchers are asserting is natural selection went to work to weed out the worst effects of the practice.
Why?
Evolutionary theory predicts such a purging process. Yeah, and so the death rate decreased over time.
The comedy death rate?
Yeah. And there was a significant decrease in children between certain periods of time, like centuries. And this was first, I don't know where they're from or what time these guys are from, but at least the 12 to 1300s.
Wow.
And their final heir died just 2 years ago, who had no fewer than 17 names. Let me see if I can...
I think that's overkill and ridiculousness.
Yeah, he was supposed to inherit the empire 92 years ago. He was Franz Joseph Otto Robert Maria Anton Karl Max Heinrich Sixtus Xavier Felix Renatus Ludwig Guyton Pius Ignatius was his name.
Wow. So, like, they had their top 30 names and then they just came up.
I guess,
we'll just
yeah.
Do 27.
He was 98 and he was supposed to inherit the Austro-Hungarian Empire 92 years ago, so he would have been 6 when he was supposed to inherit it.
See, now a name like that reminds me of my friend Dan Dannon. That's all he got. He didn't even get a middle name. And his first name was half of his last name.
Wow.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier for a second, my friend Dan took me out and did something that I don't normally do. Don't really care if I do or don't, but it was kind of fun. I shot an AK-47, and he gave me some tips on, like, because we were pretending we were shooting zombies. I was. I don't know.
Well, that's what you'd want to do, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the only reason I would shoot a gun is if a zombie was trying to kill me.
Unless you're on acid.
So I'm going, you know, I'm popping off some rounds. Pow, pow, pow. You know, because it's as fast as you can pull your trigger. It's not fully automatic, but, so then I was like, he goes, don't be a pussy, man. Pop off like 10 shots as fast
pap,
as you
pap,
can.
Pap, yeah. Pap, 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 pap. Yeah.
So I'm doing that, and as
you know,
I'm doing
it's not
it,
a bolt action or anything. No. Lever action. It's semi-auto. Psh, 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 psh,
yeah. Uh-huh. So we've got about a 30-round clip, banana clip.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm shooting off, and then I'm noticing as I shoot like 8 or 10 shots, it increasingly wants to pull up, you know, because it's kicking me back.
Yeah, you don't have time to pull it all
and
the
I'm
way
like,
back
boom,
down.
Boom, 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 boom. And I was like, dude, if I was shooting a zombie right now, I would have, like, hit him with the first shot, and then the rest of him would have went right over his head. He's like, dude, you got to step into it, bend your knee a little bit. He's giving me all these tips.
Uh-huh.
He's like, and then as
and if that's your tendency, you want to start low.
He goes, start low.
Start at the crotch.
Yep, and then as it starts to kick you back, lean into it and bend your knee. And I did that, and I blasted this thing. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. And he's
like you're stabbing the guy with your bayonet, right?
Exactly.
At the same time.
Yep. Lean mm-hmm. into it. So that was kind of fun. I wrapped off about 20 or 30 rounds on
that's cool.
AK-47.
That's cool.
And then he gave me a container full of weed and then goes, dude, I want another beer. He lives like 4 miles outside of town.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I want another beer, but I can't drive because I've been drinking. He gave me right back in town. I was like, dude, I got to get my lawnmower fixed. The battery's charging. I got some more failure to go through
uh-huh.
today. Yeah, I got some chores to get done. He's like, I'll give you a full tank of gas.
Whoa.
I said, you'll give me a full tank of gas for giving you a ride 8 miles? And he's like, yep. I go, well, that doesn't really seem fair. And he's like,
that's not even a quarter of a tank for you now, is it?
Dude, that 8 miles would take me like...
Whoa, wait a minute.
50 cents.
Yeah.
8 mile?
M&M. Yeah. He wanted you to
now,
go
that's
to
funny
Detroit.
That you said, yeah, you said 8 miles. So we're in the store because I give him a ride because I can't turn down a fucking full tank of gas.
Who could?
Nobody. Not me. So I take him in there.
Did you tell him your tank was your... I don't know, a big container.
Yeah, that's my big container. No. So he's reaching for a beer, and he's not as tall as me. And you know how they got the top row of beer, they kind of slide uh-huh. down, and sometimes they don't slide down. And there was like four gone, and the last one wasn't sliding down, and he couldn't reach it. And he's all, hey, Terry. He's like, could you help me, man? I'm too short. I was like, I didn't know you liked rap. And he's like, what are you talking about? And the lady at the counter, she's like, yeah, too short, representing Oakland bitches. And so he's like, I hate rap. And I was like, then we get up to the counter. He's like, I can't believe he was telling me that I like rap. He goes, that's just ludicrous. And he didn't even know what he had done.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's another rapper right there. I go, you want to get some iced tea, maybe some M&Ms? And he's all, I don't like rap music. So it turned out, made me put a note in my thing that says Dan Danon likes rap because he's too short and it's ludicrous. And he's going to get some iced tea and some M&M.
Dan has a rapper's name.
Dan Danon. Whoop. MCDD, double D.
Yeah,
Dan Danon. Dicka, dicka, Dan.
Go over to MikeLeeBeats.com and check out some of those beats. You can rap over them, Dan Danon.
Yeah, he can't even operate a fucking cell phone that clicks open. He's lost in the past, I think.
Can I ask you a personal question?
I would love to get personal with you.
All right. Let's see. How familiar are you with the Psycho movies?
I'm pretty familiar with, like...
The storylines.
Oh, the storyline. Very familiar. I went to see Psycho 2, which was my favorite, that came out in the early to mid-80s, I believe. We went to the drive-in and saw that. And I don't believe I had seen the original... Alfred Hitchcock
all right.
version of with a
does that bother you when you see a part two before a part one?
It didn't at that point because
but
I knew the storyline. I knew the storyline.
Oh, you'd read the books?
I hadn't read the book, but I'd heard the story okay. and heard that the guy was obsessed with his mother and thought that she was still alive and, you know, lure people to his house and kill him or whatever. But I just loved that movie and I ended up renting
was
it.
Was she still alive?
No, I don't think so. I think it was all in his maybe in the first one. Have you been watching that new series or something?
Yeah, that's okay. what it is, and it takes place
before. Well, he's a kid.
Well, he's a teenager
yeah.
and they had just
and
moved.
His mom was still alive.
Yeah,
I only caught about half of the pilot, and they played it like four times.
Well, I won't go into it too deep because it's probably worth watching for you, right?
I've heard like three or four people, friends, and my dad.
it's gripping.
Pretty good.
I mean,
yeah.
I
got sucked into it.
You know how I watch TV. Is usually like in the background on my computer while I'm doing something, you know.
Right.
I'll just have the Hulu on or whatever. But that show, like, I'll have to go and just
turn everything down
yeah. and or else I'm just like rewinding to the beginning again just so it's like, oh, I missed that part. And then I got to rewind it to the beginning. And so it's really tough. I mean, it's a good show. I really like it.
Right on. There was another one I tried watching. I think you mentioned it to me. A new series on Netflix called Hollow
something.
Uh-huh. It's Eli Roth. Did you know that?
Oh, really? From
Hostel? Yeah. And he was the one that was always saying he was really inspired by Cannibal
Haunting.
Hollow. Something Hollow. Hollow.
American Hollow.
It's not American.
Memphis Hollow.
It's probably the place that they are. But so I started watching it, and it wasn't bad. It starts out with a gruesome murder. This girl's just tore up. So, you know, it's pretty gory. They cuss and show little titties once in a while. So it's not like a regular TV series. It's a non-rated for Netflix. But then it turns into not – I don't know what other kind of thing there is besides a werewolf and a Beowulf. Beowulf, like a fur wolf.
Lianthropic creature?
Yeah, but it's called like a Von Wolf or a Ver Wolf or something. Anyway, these new people move into town and it's just, it seemed really good and I guess it probably still is, but this guy like turns into a wolf and like kills these girls. And then he thinks he didn't do it. And then, I don't know, it's weird. They're using all these terms that remind me of like Dungeons and Dragons or nerdy, lycanthrope.
Isn't that what happened in Silver Bullet?
Kind of. I almost watched that the other night, too.
Oh, really? You know what I watched the other night was...
Bag of Bones?
No, I watched Pet Sematary 1.
Oh. Stare right from the road down there, you know?
Yeah.
They ain't like a regular cemetery.
That movie is still creepy as fuck, man. That little kid rolling around who probably spawned...
He's Chucky.
Like Chucky and all that whole generation.
His eyes are glowing and he's like, stabbing him in the fucking leg and shit.
Yeah. That's the most visual scene that I remember as a kid was him just cutting that Achilles heel.
And he's just like,
I pretty much had to look away this time because I knew it was coming. And
even though it's kind of corny. It's kind of corny, the whole movie.
It is a corny movie.
But I don't know. I enjoy it.
Brad Gwynn, man. I like that guy. And I always have, even back to the day of I never really watched Munsters very much.
Yeah.
Car 54, Where Are You?
Yeah.
With him and, what was it, Tooter? I can't remember what his buddy's name was.
I don't think I ever watched that too much.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of the premises. It was probably horrible.
Ain't like a normal cemetery.
Yeah.
Sometimes death is better, you know.
I was trying to look up that Netflix original, but I don't... It's just... Oh, there it is. Hemlock Grove.
Why were we saying hollow? Because a grove, hollow, hemlock... Yeah. Hemlock's
a
tree.
Word to the Netflix, how about you make it a little bit more memorable?
Yeah, obviously we couldn't remember Hemlock Grove.
So, back to Psycho for a second. Did they, ever decide who killed his mom? Did they ever lay that out?
I thought that he did.
All right, that's just what I was wondering, because I don't remember the storylines that much. It's been a long time since I've seen part one.
Now,
I don't know if I've ever seen any of the others.
Did you watch the scene-for-scene remake in 1998 with Vince Vaughn?
I don't think so.
Did you know about it?
Well, I know one thing about it.
That's a lame idea, if you're going to remake a movie. I mean, they literally did it scene-for-scene, like identical.
But do you know the biggest thrill of that movie?
Naked girl?
Exactly.
But who played her?
Anne Heche.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is the special thing about it, though. Like, if you pause, and I learned this from Hollywood Babylon, Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, their podcast, this was one of their big things. And they even had, I think people sent in songs and stuff, jingles for this thing.
Uh-huh.
But Anne Heche, when she falls in the shower.
Yeah.
There's a, if you pause it just right.
You can see her vagina hole.
No, you can see her butthole. And it's like one of the only times butthole is on screen ever in the
where
history of
where her cheeks
films.
Are actually apart?
Yeah, you can see the actual butthole.
Chocolate starfish.
Yeah.
And the shower-flavored water.
Yep. That's breaking ground in cinema.
So what's the exact time there, buddy?
When she falls in the shower.
I mean, 1:32. 17?
Oh,
I need to know. Because I'm going to go home and watch
the audio.
I'm going to. That doesn't help. Does it go when she slips? It's all because it's all
Vince Vaughn played Norman.
I think so.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mind Vince Vaughn when he's playing Vince Vaughn. Which is most movies, right?
Yeah, he's in a new movie with Owen Wilson where it's just pretty much Wedding Crashers with a different premise. And I can't even remember what the premise is because it's pretty memorable.
Exactly. So what about his father? Did they ever explore?
See, I didn't know much backstory to it because...
Well, I guess this is what it's going in to, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what they're trying to do. And I wonder if the Hitchcock fans would be... pissed because these new writers would have to be presumptuous to know what Hitchcock's backstory. Because, you know, most authors, even though they might not get into the backstory,
they have
all characters
down.
Have backstories just so it can help them write as that person.
And Hitchcock was kind of known for his presumptuous assumption of what he wanted you to assume.
We used to watch the Hitchcock Theater as a kid.
I did too.
I don't remember any
when he would walk up,
and then he would stand sideways, and then there would be the drawing.
Good evening.
Yeah, I was like, dude, that guy's weird.
Well, I know he's creepy. He was.
He was like weirder than Rod Serling almost.
But if you watch like the the little things when he goes to commercial break and stuff, dude, they're just fucking witty as hell.
Yeah.
Even still today.
Yep.
They are. He had an abiding sense of humor, a cynicism, and always fun.
Yep.
But I definitely recommend that Bates Motel. It's about 5 or 6 episodes in now.
I wonder how I could get it. I guess I could set it to record reruns.
Maybe. I do rerun it fairly often, but it's usually just the new one.
Yeah.
Maybe Hulu. You got Hulu Plus?
No, but I recently did get to watch the end of Walking Dead by buying the second to the last episode for $1.99 on Amazon. Nice. Yeah, so because I had the season finale on my DVR, but it got recorded. We talked about that weeks ago. So yeah, I'm done with that. It was pretty good.
Right. It was a pretty good ending.
I was
to the season, right?
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the end. It's over.
Seen it.
I'm sad to see Merle die. I was sad to see. It was kind of weird
it was
to see him as a zombie and to have his brother kill him and like crying. It was pretty intense.
And to see how he went.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the fucking governor, man.
You know, as much as if you remember like the first episodes when we saw Merle, I mean, there was no way you could like him.
No.
But he was just, and then coming back.
He was
back,
still really unlikable, though.
He was still unlikable, but you saw a human side to him, and you could, like, almost relate, like, as the human aspect, you know, not maybe his angle, but just like, well, he's still human, and he has a, you know,
another
a motive with his brother.
That
stuff.
Establishes that humanity of him and the human side of him is the fact that how are you ever going to forget that they left him fucking on the roof of that building?
Yeah.
Granted, they came back for him, but it was too late.
And he didn't know.
Right. So that was building, and that he thought about that all the time. And then he had the governor telling him to, you know, do this, do that. He was a right-hand man and talked about how many people...
Manipulative guy.
How many people he'd killed under the governor. And I'm just ready to see him go. Hopefully he goes soon at the beginning of the season 4. But I was kind of sad to see, I think her name's Angela or Amanda, the blonde-haired girl.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Her.
Andrea.
Andrea. I was close.
I saw it was probably about the time before the second episode to the last episode dropped. Her and the governor. We're guests on the Larry King show, and they were all talking about how...
Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the phone.
They wouldn't say anything, but at the same time, you know, they were pretty much alluding to one of them wasn't going to survive.
Yeah, you just didn't know which one.
Yeah, and that was sad the way that went down, too, man.
Yeah.
You know how he's like, you ain't getting out of here
until
you kill her one way or another. And then he just totally, like, half killed him so he turned zombie, and then
that was brilliant. Actually, I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It's like, but he's gonna turn. Oh, man.
Then the thing for me was like it took the way that they edited it to make it look like it was sloppy in the way that it looked like she could have been doing stuff faster.
Yeah,
I thought they could have edited it to make it look a little less possible or something, because I was kind of left with, what the fuck are you doing? Just grab it.
Yeah. Yeah. Quit fucking around for dramatic purposes.
Yeah.
Also finished out Weeds this weekend.
Oh, wow.
There was a few episodes in 6 and 7 that I might have fell asleep and never went back and fully watched them, but I knew exactly what was going on. And I was confused because the last 2 episodes were flash forward 7 years.
Yeah.
Stevie was all grown up, and I was like, wait, he's supposed to be like 4. And then it didn't even...
Oh, and you hadn't watched it in forever?
No, I'd watched all the way up to it.
Oh.
And then the next episode come on, and it didn't say flash forward 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
It only said it on the synopsis, like when you look at what the episode was about.
Oh.
So I'm... And then like...
So you were lost.
Yeah, the Silas and his wife that was deaf had a baby already, and the Sean had a mustache and was like an alcoholic, and I thought it was a pretty good ending. It was a little bit like, I don't know, because one of those things where I didn't really enjoy the season that or the whole series. It kind of fizzled out for me in the middle, but I had enough time invested into it where I wanted to finish.
Yeah,
and then the ending was like one of those things where it's showing how life changes and you go through ups. Yeah, you go through ups and downs, and then it usually works out. And then they played some goofy little song at the end with some lyrics. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, my lips quivering a little bit. And I'm like, I'm not going to cry at the fucking ending of Weeds.
It's over.
What the fuck? And then I just got to thinking about, oh, it's just because everybody goes through trials and tribulations. I've had some shit go on through my life in the last 5 years that I've wondered about. And it's just one of those things that kind of hit home with me. And then I'm like, fuck, I'm going to cry in Weeds? No, I'm not going to. But I kind of did. Oh. I kind of cried a little bit. But it wasn't because Weeds was over or because they got it, whatever.
It sparked up some emotions for you.
It did. And I think that that's a beauty in TV shows. And, people complain about TV being sappy. But if you hit the right person at the right time with the right storyline and the ending and the song that you chose and is all perfect, that's when it is art.
That's why I watch Wife Swap.
Yeah, because that's beauty. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
So funny. You know what two families they mix together this time?
A black and a Puerto Rican?
No.
I thought it was race swap.
A paganism family and a regular Christian family.
Ooh, cool. Yeah. That's almost like race swap. I wanted to start a new show called Race Swap, where you swap partners, but you have to be like arch enemy.
That would open up a lot of dialogue.
If there's such a thing as arch enemy races. You know, you're paired up with your arch enemy, which I don't know. What? Is whites the arch enemies of blacks?
Sure, right? You'd have a...
Chinese. I guess it'd be always against an English person because everybody hates us. There would be a French person next, and then you're like, "Oh, we hate
That's
you."
That's been a thing too because I've been on this postcrossing.com website where you send a postcard to a random person in the world, and then you get one back.
Oh.
And I thought, man, people probably hate it when they say that. You see, they're going to get one from some guy in the U.S.
I fucking hate those guys.
Yeah.
Eh.
I should probably just send them, just write fuck off in the back and enhance the stereotype.
I'm really a nice guy, but I'm going to act like a dick just to make you feel better about your stereotypical beliefs.
Yep. Have you ever ironed anything?
Oh, yeah. Not in a long time, but I own an iron.
Really?
Yeah, I used to iron. I don't anymore. I have a wife. But I used to iron shirts probably in high school when I did a... some performing with my choir, Blue Notes.
Not like band shirts. You're not like iron and band shirts.
Oh, no.
Maybe if they were like just my collectibles.
Just my Iron Maiden shirt.
Yeah. What about... you going to do some... What about some iron-on shirts?
Oh, I have. That was the last thing we had used our iron for when we made some Domesticide shirts with the corporation logo on a white shirt. You just buy some transfers and then you print it off on your computer and you got a shirt.
Yeah.
I could do one of my face and be super narcissistic like I want to be. Terry Giles, you got two legs, suck on my dick. I changed my phrase. Is now, you've got two legs, suck on my dick. And then I said to my mom, you got two legs, suck my dick. Oh, wait. Sorry, Mom. Hey, will you go get this for me? No, you got two legs, you can suck my dick. You mentioned ironing shirts, and I said Iron Maiden. I just want to whip this out real quick.
Sure. I had nowhere I was going with that.
An elderly couple in Stockholm, Sweden have been charged with harassment for playing Iron Maiden songs at top volume toward their neighbor's house. The couple, 71-year-old woman and an 81-year-old man, are taking revenge on their new neighbors in the Stockholm area who they said were too loud. So the Daily newspaper reported Sunday they said that the neighbors had to take sleeping pills in order to get to sleep. Or not the neighbor, but the 71-year-old lady. And so they set up a music system on their balcony facing the neighbor's home, and they played the music until as late as 4 a.m., blasting the entire Iron Maiden catalog. The harassment has carried on, and I'm completely broken down. How can I keep living here? The neighbors told the police. So I guess Iron Maiden's going to drive them out of the neighborhood.
Sometimes my neighbor is so quiet, I just have to smoke weed all day.
You think you're quiet? Check this out. I walk around my house whispering to myself all the time. I keep the TV on mute and I use headphones.
Yeah.
I think you're quiet. I'm fucking quiet. And then he comes over and knocks on my door. Hey, quiet down over there, you piece of shit. This is a duplex, don't you know?
Yeah, duplex.
Was that Canadian? Don't you know?
Don't you know now?
And then there was a weird another story out of Stockholm right next to it, and I thought I fucking printed the same story twice. But
it was
the story
so good, you printed it twice.
Yeah, just a few days before old people blasting Iron Maiden, Justin Bieber was arrested, or not arrested, but they found a small amount of marijuana and a taser on his bus.
I thought you were going to say up his butt.
Yes, that's where it was. He was on the bus, and the taser was up his ass, and the weed was in his pocket. Just kidding. The suspected marijuana was sent to a lab for testing.
What?
No one was arrested because no one could be tied to the drug, even though it was in Bieber's ass.
You know how they test it? To make to sure smoke it's it. Marijuana? Yeah. Yeah. They use a glass flask-like device, and they light it in one end, and they breathe the smoke out the other. And then they see if it changes them.
Oh, okay. So here's what it is. The cops were keeping an eye on the crowd of hysterical fans. And when the door opened, they smelled pot.
What?
Yeah. So a colleague felt a strong smell of marijuana, like someone had been smoking in the bus. So the cops gained entry and they found a taser and some marijuana, a small amount of marijuana. And Bieber wants to give his monkey away because they quarantined it when he was on tour in another
place. Yeah, oh, in Germany. Jimmy Kimmel's been following this, and he's been activating for Justin Bieber.
Oh, he's a Justin Bieber activist?
Well, yeah. Is he
a believer?
No, he will not rest until Germany gives his monkey back. In fact, he said that if
Kimmel
they,
won't?
Yeah.
What?
He said if they did not give the monkey back by a certain date, and this was last week, he was going to kill the Hoff.
What? That's pretty fucking... That's
and,
hard.
And the Hoff, they showed it. It was the episode I watched the other day was a repeat, but I'd seen it before. But it showed there was only 2 hours left until the deadline. And
right.
Then they flashed and they had Hoff tied up in a hotel room, but he got away. And then he said, "We're not giving your monkey back. We're going to fucking keep your monkey." And then, yeah.
Well, he's been in the news for something like every day lately.
Yeah, he doesn't, apparently he doesn't care if he gets the monkey back, which is kind of a dick move, isn't it?
Yeah,
totally. I mean, you just take it over there and then you're just like, eh.
Give it to somebody.
Well, yeah, you take it away and so I don't have any attachment to the animal.
Remember like a season or two ago we talked about him giving his guinea pig away to some lucky fan? He's like got these pets and he can't keep trying. He just fuck. I don't want this thing. Could you take it? I got to go smoke some weed on the bus.
That kid is not going to turn out well by the time.
And did
he's
you
like
hear the other thing? He went
man.
And visited like Anne Frank's fucking memorial, and he said, "I hope she was a believer."
Yeah, well, yeah.
What the
I
fuck?
I would.
Say?
I hope she would have been a believer.
What? Fuck that. Speaking of Justin Bieber, I think that's what's in Hans's CD player.
What's in Hans's CD player?
It's always something cool because you know
he's
going to
be
Justin.
On June 2nd.
Did he confirm?
No.
Ah.
Well, yeah, he has.
Really?
Silently.
Ah, yeah. There's how we work at the Tagcast. If you don't deny it and you don't whatever unconfirmed means, then you're confirmed. All right, I didn't.
Well, maybe this will give him some incentive. Pat is also scheduled.
Yeah, you guys are going to double team the tag team, and maybe we could get the neighbor over and we'll have a victims reunion show.
Whoa, Ron lives in town too.
Yeah. So today, I didn't know this was a band, but I'm familiar with this guitar player. He was involved with King Crimson and some other stuff. The Robert Fripp String Quintet. Excuse me, quintet. Hmm. There's five of them.
Five strings.
I wonder if he's just got a five-string guitar or if he has five people that play strings. Hans, help us out. Another fucking record I've never heard. It's called The Bridge Between.
Huh.
The Robert Fripp String Quintet.
I haven't listened to much Robert Fripp, but I do like King Crimson.
Yeah.
That what's that, 20th century?
21st century schizoid band.
Yeah.
That's the only song you like?
No, that's the album I heard.
Oh, okay.
I used to have that album.
I'm
back
not
when
familiar
I was,
with a lot of
Crimson. Trying to delve into the 60s psychedelic era, you know, and I knew they had the connection to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, right?
Yeah.
And I really like those guys just on an arrangement level. You know, those guys could arrange some fucking tight-ass songs, man, that brain salad surgery. You know,
I'm not that familiar with it. I need to check it out.
Well, they had those, you know, the hits of Emerson,
yeah,
like Palmer that are like...
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about...
Well, there was a few hits off of that one, like that one that sounds like a circus.
Yeah. Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that one
really
was kind of a themey album.
I think it was. It was about the big show.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Like, what are we going to do next? I don't know.
There's some of those weird bands from the back in those days, like, and I'll direct this, like, to Hans, like, if you would, like, enjoy any, like, a Strawberry Alarm Clock. Has anybody ever bought or listened to the entire Strawberry Alarm Clock album?
Hans likes that bubble gummy.
Yeah, sure.
Incense peppermints, like, that's the only song I've ever heard by that band. And that's just because it was on a compo.
Orange Tangerine or something.
Green,
like,
Tangerine. No. Green Tambourine?
No, not the song. There's a band like Tangerine Dream.
Okay, yeah.
And there's all sorts of others that I was like, you know, you just read about psychedelic music of the 60s.
But that brings to mind 60s, that song.
And then you see all these lists and they mention all these weird albums and you listen to them and you're like,
Who did that song? My Green Tambourine. Ting, ting. That was fucking psychedelic bubblegum too, but I can't remember who did it.
Green Tambourine.
No, that's, you're thinking of the Savoy Truffle.
Yeah.
Which they stole that. The Beatles stole that, didn't they?
Dude, that's a great song though. Yeah. Under fucking appreciated fucking.
It was cool
when
I saw that band do the whole Beatles White album. They did that song, of course, and then they did it that song out of the
Are
whole.
Are you talking about Fish?
No, the Beatles tribute band that plays at the country fair. Oh. I can't remember what they're called.
The Bartles?
No. The Beatles. No, I don't know what they're called. I can't remember what they're called.
You know Fish did that too, right?
What? The White album?
Yeah.
Fuck Fish.
They did it in like 1993.
I don't like to eat fish or listen
live.
To fish.
It was a bootleg from some outdoor festival in New York.
Pretty much every sense of my body, I don't like to smell fish. I don't like to taste fish. I don't like to hear fish. I don't like to look at fish. And I don't like to feel fishy.
You don't like to look at fish?
No, fish are gross. They're all scaly and rainbowy and they got fucking shit coming out of their ass. If you squeeze too hard when you're trying to get the hook out, they got eggs popping out and shit.
Wouldn't you?
I would. That's why I don't like them. I don't fuck with them. I like to shoot fish in a barrel rather than putting a fucking line in the water. No, I used to like to fish, but I don't like to eat fish. I don't really like to touch them. I don't like to listen to them, and I don't like to
I've never really been interested in fish as the band. I thought, you know, I did find their performance interesting. I don't remember a lot about it.
But, you saw them?
No.
Oh.
No, I just listened to that tape of the bootleg. Because at that time in like 94, 95, I mean, they were just bootleg band.
Yeah.
I mean, I think around 96 they released their first official CD. And they'd already had hundreds of bootlegs.
They had such a huge following already.
Oh, God. Well, they just took the Grateful Dead crowd, right? They needed to go somewhere. I mean, they aren't traveling around. I mean, well, you got to travel someone.
Got to go somewhere. Got to watch somebody. Can't just follow the Further Festival any further. Those guys are coming, too. Yeah, and stick around after the show here. We're going to have Plugs by Dustin. Last week, we switched voices, and he was me, and I'll be him this week, probably.
Hans, have you ever ironed anything?
Have you ever ironed your maiden? Do you have a maiden?
Have you?
Oh, I didn't get to mention what I was listening to. This CD of I think they're maybe a local Reno band. My buddy Dave gave to me. I can't speak.
Pain Clinic.
No, it was Envirusment. I thought I was listening to him a couple of weeks ago, but it was actually that other band, Dimension 13. But Envirusment, great thrash metal band, kind of powery vocals. Oh, and Hans, have you heard the new track by VHOL? Which is the singer from Yob. He sings only. Maybe we'll intro the next episode with it, because it's fucking good, dude. It's like thrashy punk rock metal. It's not Yobby at all, and he sings like a power metal singer. Huh. It's pretty fucking awesome. I'm liking it.
I'm going to ask Hans. Hans, have you ever been asked to turn down Iron Maiden? And Hans,
probably by his parents.
Did you?
Nice question. Now, I saw this first about Slayer, but today I saw a meme that said, I don't always listen to Kiss, but when I do, my neighbors do too.
Yeah.
It used to be, I don't always listen to Slayer, but when I do, my neighbors do too.
The world does too.
That's right. Slayer! All right, well, shit, we better wrap this up. We got some post-production stuff we're going to work up for you guys, some little ditties and shitties and ditties and titties.
Yeah, go to dudeschillin.com and listen to our radio.
I think there's
24
a new...
hours a day, 7 days a week.
I think there's a new short podcast on the horizon. Have any of those been released yet?
No.
No.
I was going to maybe do start May 1st.
We don't have a name for it yet because all good names are taken.
Yeah. We'll thought about the 3:30 cast.
Yeah.
And just release it at 3:30 every day.
And have it be 3 minutes and 30 seconds every time?
Not more than that.
Well, you could make, you could edit it to where you could put like always exactly 3:30. Not edit it, like add something at the end, like a little ditty that fades out and it's always 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Or well, there's a... 333. Or I might just call it the tidbit.
You could call it 333.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I also thought about 420 and then doing the 420 time.
Or it comes out every 3 days at 333 and it's 3.
That's what my first thing was every third day at 330. I was going to do the 333. A couple of the episodes I would need, you know, they're about 220. Oh. So it would be a long intro in bed.
That's okay. You could do, well, it'd be a minute and 10 seconds, so you could do...
let's throw a beat at the end.
35-second intro.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be talking about something that you don't even care about, but we don't care because you're awesome and we suck, I'm trying to fill up 55 seconds, and this is the episode starting now. Yeah, go.
Bam.
Or something like that. I'd be glad to write some ditties for you.
All right.
So, yeah, it's been a great Monday. We talked about Django. We talked about all kinds of stuff. We're going to wrap this up, and we're going
to
go
like
play.
I'd like to send a snout out to
Snibbity Splade. He's our newest listener. He's coming to us from the Marshall Islands.
Yep.
And
I tried to find that fucker on the little map because I got a map that colors up every country that we've been in.
I don't think Snibbity's his actual given name. Probably I think that's not a nickname. So Snibbity,
welcome. Yeah, we play marshals. So.
I think his name is David.
Yeah,
David Splade.
David Splade. Maybe it's Mickey Splade.
Mickey Spinell.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. Thanks for listening. It's been a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Stick around for plugs. Check out our websites: dudeschillin, terryguile.com, Mike Lee Beats, all those. Tagcastpodcast.com.
Yeah, and
give us a dollar.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Go take a shit.
Go take a shit.
I'm going to text you while I'm taking a poop.
All right.
Not you.
Oh.
Every listener.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
If you're listening right now, please photobomb. Wait. Please just forget it. I'll text you later.
Back on.
Hello, Taggots. Looking for something fun to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. This is the plug section with Dustin. May 4th, we got Amy Schumer at McDonald Theater. It's in Eugene, Oregon. Check online for tickets. Also, May 4th, The Whitest Kids You Know in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater. A couple great comedy shows going on that night in the area. Also, if comedy's not your thing, go to the Dixie Creek Saloon on May 4th. Check out the High Desert Hooligans, sexy punk rock chicks, and a couple of weird guys. And the Confederates. That's at the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's a 9 o'clock show. It's free. It's 21 and over. Put on by Dave Wilson and his local music, Willamette Valley thingy-mabobber, whatever it is. You know it. You love it. May 9th, Jay and Silent Bob at the Baghdad Theater up in Portland. A new addition to the list here. May 11th, they've got local boys 30-pound test playing with Triacus or something. I don't know how you pronounce it, but that's in Corvallis at Cloud and Kelly's. Probably like $5 admission. Probably 10 o'clock show. That's May 11th. May 15th up in Portland, we got Hypocrisy, Chrissy, and Aborted, Starkill, and Arsis at Bronx. Definitely a death metal show for you to go check out. In Eugene on May 16th, we got Usnia. I can't say that word correctly, but they're playing with local bands Ninth Moon Black and Dirt Clawed Fight. I believe Usnia are doing a West Coast tour. They're a Portland Doom band. Check them out at Lucky's in Eugene on May 16th. Your favorite bartender, Josh Joshy Fish. Finch working at Lucky's there. He'll serve you a drink and let you listen to some doom metal. May 18th, Tormentium, Panzer God, Dead Conspiracy, and Infernus, formal Albany black metal band, playing up in Rocher in Portland. Same night, tough choice. Would you rather go see that or go to the Wonder Ballroom and see Cannibal Corpse with Napalm Death, Immolation, Cretan, Beyond Creation, and Magruder Grind? I'll be there, I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm going to get my tickets after I get some money. May 24th, Primus at the Cuthbert Amphitheater in Eugene. Crazy old Les Claypool and the boys. May 28th, it's Bolt Thrower, Benediction, Hellshock at the Star Theater in Portland. May 28th, Cake at the Doug Fir Lounge. Usnia with Bellwitch and Norska at the Ash Street Saloon happens on May 31st up in Portland. Great little venue, great bands, go check them out. Also that night, if you'd rather go to the Hawthorne Theater, you can check out Fear Factory, Hate Eternal, Cobra, and The Lotus. Another great death metal show. June 1st, Lamb of God with Decapitated and Terror at the Roseland Theater. June 4th, Intronaut, Scale the Summit, Earth to Ashes, and The Odious at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland. June 8th, we got Alvin Palooza 2, a fundraiser for a local girl who passed away, and they started a scholarship for her that will feature Strange Dichotomy, The Milestoners, Apophis Theory, American Roulette, Ed to Shred, and Bikini. That's at the Riverside Community Center. All proceeds go to Alvin Palooza's scholarship. Also, June 8th, World of Lies will be playing with Necryptic and Damage Overdose. And Hyborian Rage, which is Dan from Truculence's other band. That's at Katie O'Brien's in Portland. Got some other big comedy shows coming up. June 20th, Pauly Shore at the Wow Hall. June 13th, Tracy Morgan at the Newmark Theater in Portland. Also coming up, we got the Rockstar Mayhem Festival at the White River Amphitheater. Black Flag is coming to the Hawthorne Theater. No Henry Rollins on that. They're playing with Good For You and Piggy. And July 20th at 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth and Cannabis Corpse, Hawthorne Theater. So check those out and go do some fun. When you come home, you can listen to more of the TagCast podcast at TagCastPodcast.com.